I got my first pack of NYXL strings, never having heard of them, knowing nothing really about them. It's just like, hey, this is something new that's coming out. Can you give this a try and let us know what you think about it? I couldn't break them. I couldn't throw them out of tune. No matter what I do, those strings are always there for me.
Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys. Before we jump into today's Rig Rundown with Erin Coburn of Coburn, I thought I'd give you a little backstory on her journey as a musician. She's been playing blues and blues rock for about a decade, so she's steeped in that pentatonic life. But what makes exciting for her and for us as listeners is where she's probably headed, given her new influences she's been listening to and incorporating in her guitar playing, is Alice in Chains, Sleep Token, and Polyphia, to name a few. So that is going to be really inspiring to see where she takes what she's learned in the blues rock and blues genre forward with her Strandbergs, which are obtuse instruments for her blues and blues rock background. But she's also incorporating now 7-string guitars and taking that forward. Well, we don't even know what the future is going to be for her, and it's kind of unwritten, but she's going to write it up herself as she comes up with these influences. It kind of seeps into her musical soup that's swimming around in her brain, and she's going to make some magic. So hang on, folks. We're just along for the ride with Erin. So enjoy this Rig Rundown. I know I did filming it, so... This is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. I'm joined with Erin Coburn of Coburn. Erin, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Really good, man. And I'm super excited to do this because had we done this maybe a year or two ago, we would probably have had John Bollinger do this because you started out as a blues rock.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
and yes,
it's indeed. Funny. You're shifting gears. You got Alice in Chains as an influence, you've noted. Mm-hmm. Polyphia, Sleep Token,
yes.
Which is apparently everyone's influence nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
But so you're more in my lane, because as we do these Rig Rundowns, we kind of pick and choose based on musical influences and stylings of our crew. And so begrudgingly, you had to deal with me.
I'm glad to be in this lane.
Oh, well, welcome to the lane of Misfit Toys.
All right.
Let's get into, speaking of toys,
yes.
This is not one of those. This is a real deal Strandberg.
Yes,
tell me about
it is.
How you... Let's back it up, because when you started Strats,
mm-hmm,
traditional instruments, mm-hmm. How do you get into something like this?
Well, the Strats kind of went hand in hand with the whole blues thing. So I grew
they
up
do.
Playing the blues and in all the blues clubs and getting kicked out of them because I was underage.
Yeah.
You know how it is. And then, it was actually at NAMM when I saw a Strandberg
really?
For the first time. Like I had seen people playing them on Instagram, but when I went to NAMM for the first time, it was like 2019, I think, whatever it was
okay.
before the pandemic.
Yeah, 2019.
I like levitated towards the booth. I'm like, those look so cool. And like all the videos I started watching, it's like everyone plays metal here. So I reached out to them. I said, you don't have a blues player. I would love to represent you in the blues avenue because these things are great for blues. And I was playing pretty strict blues on
them
for a while. And
what was the response with your audience when you switched from the Strat to these?
Oh, I got some pushback.
But
a lot of them were like, that's really cool. But some of them were like, that's not a Strat. That's not normal. Don't do that, you know. But I liked it. So I was like, let's do it. So, yeah.
Well, now that you've been with the instrument 5 years, so mm-hmm. I had to do the math because I'm slow, is that the fact of what have you enjoyed about not only the headless aspect, mm-hmm. but itself as an instrument? What have you enjoyed?
Oh, there's so many. Well, to just start off with how I actually have a tattoo of a Strandberg on my stomach. That's how committed I am to
wow.
these things. I love them so much. So my favorite
thing. Is it kind of like with Subway where you get the free sandwich for life?
Maybe it's like that. Maybe
now you're
like,
going to get all these Strandbergs.
Like, oh, no, we can't have her as an artist anymore. Oh, no, she's got a tattoo. Don't do that. No, but my favorite thing about it is the neck, like the neck
okay.
profile, that Endure neck. Like, it's a trapezoid versus like C-shape, D-shape. And I have pretty small hands.
Okay.
So like, it's just, it feels like a couch. I'm playing the comfy couch. And that's my favorite part. And also, I love to jump around on stage because caffeine. So it's nice to like, to not have something that I'm going to like take everyone out with. And I can just fly around because it's also super light.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so talk to me specifically about this one. We got
mm-hmm.
the laces in
yes,
here.
Yes, got my laces. It's the, was it green, silver? I like how they go by colors because I don't have to go like, this 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, something, 5,000. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right?
Like colors. So, but they're fantastic. These were the first, I think these were the first lace pickups I put in my Strandberg. And I was like, I need more. And then we started working together and they're amazing. But yeah, got the lace pickups. I think they swapped out, Strandberg swapped out black hardware because this used to be chrome. So... but yeah, this is my road horse. It's got some dings in it and stuff, and it's been It's been a lot. So, and we're switching genres because we're going from like blues rock, which is going to be tonight's show is more blues rock, but I'm going more towards hard rock and rock because that's just, I love it. That's my where my soul is. I want to open up mosh pits someday. So, you know, this guitar is slowly going, my main guitar is going to the 7-string that I have at home, the 7-string Strandberg.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, this has been my road course.
Speaking of that transition, I'm excited to see how you incorporate kind of the vocabulary you've used for years on the instrument and taking it to the new realms of the guitar that you're exploring now with the new music that you're into.
Yes, I had someone tell me, they were like, I hear some blues in like the super hard rock. There's just a little bit like the soul, and I'm like, yes.
I feel like without forecasting too far, I think that there's a musicality or a danceability that having the blues, because it's such a rhythm-based, you know, genre or styling, will really maybe give it that life that maybe, you know, for the mosh pits, that will give it life that maybe other stylings of the music that still are already created in that genre might not have.
Yes, well, one of my favorite artists or bands is Issues, which, rest in peace, they just debanded, but they're amazing. And, like, they took a lot of, like, R&B and soul influences, but they were doing, like, metal, and so it was cool to see them, like kind of fuse that together because it added a whole new like soulful avenue to a genre that's more normally like how many notes can I play, let's go hard, you know what I mean? It was a cool balance, so definitely something similar to that.
Is that a struggle for you, you know, coming from that blues rock or look at me, you know, when you're a front of a band and then soloing it, where you had to not retain but lay back and not play those million notes?
It actually hasn't been a struggle. I guess it's been a natural progression, it feels like. Yeah.
Nice.
So it's what's going to be a little weird is that with the new songs, I can't go off and take like a 20-minute guitar solo, you know, like with the blues.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like, you know, got to stick to the song.
Well, yeah, if you want the mosh pits to keep going.
Yeah, that's true. We can keep them going all night.
Now, what should we know before we move on to another instrument? Strings.
Oh, strings. DR strings. I use the DDTs.
Okay.
These are the 10 to 56s, I believe.
And was there a change when you moved from the Strat to this style instrument?
So my Strat I had when I was much younger. So I was playing like nines because I had little itty bitty, you know, I was like, yeah, let's just go light. So it was a very big change, different change. But again, it was gradual.
And what tuning for this one?
This is just standard.
Okay.
Yep.
Is there anything else you want to say about it before we move on to another friend?
I don't think so. I think we covered this one pretty well.
All right, let's see a new friend. Oh, I love the color of this one. Introduce me.
Okay, so this is my Neck Through Fusion Strandberg, and this was actually one of the first ones that I had. Of course, again, Neck Through, it's going straight through. It's a little more nerve-wracking, and you know, if you're gonna break the neck by accident.
Yeah.
But it used to have a tremolo on it, but I blocked the tremolo off back here, so I just don't use that anymore. This is in C-sharp standard.
Ooh.
So I'm down low on this one. We actually have a bass that's in C-sharp standard too, so we get nice and low.
Yeah.
So, yes.
HSH in this setup.
Mm-hmm.
And what were, I guess, colors, I guess, gold.
Gold, silver, and then gold, blue is the combinations on this one.
And why did you block off the trim?
Because I was down tuning, and it was like a floating trim, so it was just going all over the place with tuning.
You know,
it wasn't holding as much, so I'm like, I can sacrifice a trim to go low, so.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Can we hear it quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Now I see a snazzy cable. Do you want to give a shout out?
Yes, this is Happy Cable Company, and I love them because, like, I try to be happy. Not try, it just happens. But Happy Cable Company. It's the caffeine, exactly. I'm loaded up, man. But this is Happy Cable Company. They're awesome. This is they sent this to me. And I actually just started working with them, and like I met them at NAMM for the first time. I got to meet them in person, and like they're happy, man. They're really happy. So
I feel like you're pretty good at first impressions. So NAMM is great for you. You're just
I do like it.
Yeah.
Although there are a couple of people that I was like trying not to like fangirl over when I saw them, like, you know, you just want to run towards them, but like that's like the ultimate no-no at NAMM. So you know, but just all smiles here.
Let's move on to a new friend.
New friend.
All right. I see laces, but these ones have signatures or writing on them.
Yes.
Do tell.
Okay, so this one is super special to me because Lace and I are actually coming out with Coburn signature pickups. And I when they told me that, they're like, let's do some signatures, I was like, hold on, can you say that 5 more times, please? I just need to confirm. So, but yeah, these are my Coburn signatures. What's really cool, I actually just recently started learning about all the ins and outs of pickups. So, and they've been really nice about it because I was afraid I'd come in and be like, like, hey, what does that do? And they'd be like, you don't know what that does, but they've been amazing in the process. So these are, they have ceramic magnets in them, so it's very different. Because I asked them, I wanted like a spanky sound. I wanted something spanky and something that would be a little bit more aggressive, but also I could like roll it back when I need to, but I wanted some spank. So that's what happened. It came out and it was spanky.
And all three are, or is it just the humbucker and the bridge? Or all three are
in
actually?
I believe it's on all three. Yeah.
Okay, so you have all three. I'm saying all three of those, like your signature set is going to be HSS.
Yes.
Well, we got to hear them.
Yeah, okay.
Let's do it.
Oh, gosh. All right, I'm going to do it on a clean set in here so you can really hear what's going on.
Okay.
So that's bridge. Here's middle. Neck middle. And neck. And then I also have a little toggle switch here, so when I'm on this pickup, I can switch that. I think it's splitting the humbucker.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What's your favorite setting, or what tone do you like most with these pickups?
Oh, gosh. So when I first got it, my favorite was actually like neck middle. That was my favorite position, which has never been a thing.
Okay.
But when I'm doing clean stuff, I really love that. I love that sound. That's where I'm getting that like nice spiky sound from. But of course, like I'm having it on the bridge for when I'm doing solos and stuff.
Yeah, so. Flamethrower.
Yes, nice. Exactly. I love it.
There's some interesting instruments. Can we check those out?
Yes, we can. Let's get into the weird zone.
Hey, y'all. I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So our rig rundowns for a long time now have been sponsored by D'Addario. And I'm thrilled to be using the D'Addario Expand pedal board. I've got this little guy that fits in my gig bag. And like many of you, I'm changing pedals all the time. I love having a board that can shrink as I'm shrinking my board or expand as I'm expanding it. And that's why I love the Expand pedal board. Their patented telescoping technology lets me instantly change the size of my pedals playground. It also features a unique cable management system and comes fitted with loops of Velcro, keeping everything neat and easy to swap. The two Expand versions comes with either one or two rows, depending on your needs. So a big thanks to D'Addario. Now, let's get back to more rig rundowns.
Yeah, what do you call this one, Spidey?
Accurate.
Really? Yes. I nailed it. First try.
Yes, indeed. And the song that we play on it is called Spider-Man Jam, because it's just a jam.
Nice.
So, yes, indeed. This is actually the first lunchbox that was built for me. My dad built the first lunchbox guitar for me, and it failed miserably.
You're going to say that to your father?
Yes.
Okay.
But he knows that he put a lot of work into it, but it just was not playable, because he's never built an instrument before.
So okay.
He's an idea man.
Though, crash course.
I love it. So Exactly. So, but he found this one guy, New Egypt Folk String Instrument Company, I think I'm saying all that right, he built like cigar boxes, and so my dad reached out and said, hey, have you ever built a lunchbox before? And he was like, no, but I can try. And this happened.
Nice.
First one. So there's two cool things about it. The first cool thing is it's Spider-Man. So
duh.
I love Spider-Man. It's the best. And the second coolest thing is...
Oh, no.
Yes, it opens.
Killer.
So sometimes we store snacks in there.
Or
other stuff. Well, there was one time we were on stage, and like I always like to show the audience, hey, it opens. And they're like, whoa. Well, someone played a prank on me, and they put a bunch of things from Spencer's in there.
Ooh.
And you know what they sell there. Rhymes with picks, and it's not guitar picks. So I'd open it up, and just dicks all over the stage. And then and everyone's like, that wasn't supposed to happen. So, but yeah, we put bread in here, sandwiches. It's multifunctional.
I feel like you could just put different things every night, and that's part of the thing.
Exactly. I've been slacking, though.
Yeah.
Although I asked someone at my recent show, I said, what should I put in here for the next thing? And they said ding-dongs. And I said, what the hell is a ding-dong?
Really?
I didn't know what a ding-dong was.
Whoa.
And so the whole audience at one time is trying to explain to me what a ding-dong is. And
Have you since then tried a ding-dong?
No. I don't know, man.
Okay.
I don't know how I feel about trying a
ding-dong.
They're
delish. If I can speak for my former fat kid self, they're delish.
All right, ding-dongs are the way to go. Not sponsored.
But getting back to this, can we hear how it sounds?
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to put some...
Because tone matters, bro.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, you can get some tone out of a lunchbox, man. All right. Yeah, Yep.
Nice. Now there's still another lunchbox over there, right?
There is. When there's one, there's two.
Okay.
So this is what came out of this idea. So he was like, I have to build another one. It's that addicting. So be careful. If you build a lunchbox, you'll build like 10 more.
All right, I see a P90 jammed into a Star Wars lunchbox. Yes. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, so this is the second lunchbox that was built for me, and it's Star Wars. It's got a hot pickup going on in it. This one has a lot more attitude than the other one.
Okay.
So if we're using like wedges, I can't play it. I gotta use in-ears with this one. That's the one thing. So otherwise, it's just gonna be for the whole night.
Now, for the Spider-Man and the Star Wars, mm-hmm. were those your calls, or was that a surprise in terms of what lunchbox was used?
The Spider-Man one was my dad's idea. The Star Wars one actually was also my dad's idea. So my dad played a big role in the ideas of these and picking out the lunchboxes.
Nice.
Yes.
Can we hear this mean machine?
Yes, indeed. Okay. I normally play the Star Wars thing, but I wasn't gonna do that.
Oh yeah, because we might. Yeah, it might. George Lucas will come after us.
Exactly.
No, I see. There's one more instrument. Do we want to talk about the uke?
Is that okay?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
That thing's been
just because the way you use it.
It's been beaten to hell and back, man. I had to get a new one on the road in was it Knoxville? I think it was Knoxville on like a recent tour because my other one just like it went to pieces. So
got it.
Yeah,
because you use this kind of on the jam portion.
Yes.
The melody.
Exactly. I get kind of violent with the ukuleles. I think that's why they don't want to sponsor me.
So what brand is this? And then also what provoked you or, you know, inspired you to be a uke player in the blue circuit?
Yeah. This is Kala, I believe.
Okay.
Yes, Kala. Sorry, I've had a lot. And so this one I got on the road when my other ukulele, like, decided to just, like, die. And that was, I believe, a Riptide ukulele. I'd used it so much. Mm. So this one, as you can tell, has, like, it looks like a beaver has been chewing on the back of it. And that's just because my belts do that. So, but I love it. I ran into a uke for the first time at Guitar Center when I was like this tall. I don't know what age that was, but young. And I just go by height.
Yeah.
And I saw the wall of pedals. I'm like, oh, that looks so inviting. Like, let's do that. And then I grabbed a uke and I went to the wall of pedals. And they said, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. And I was just like, I'm not going to flip the bird. But I was like, yes, I can, because I was a bratty teenager. And I did it, and I was like, this is so cool. So I adopted it, and I've been using it in sets ever since. So wah pedal, distortion, all the fun stuff on it.
Oh, do delight us with that.
Yes.
I got to hear a wah or distortion on a uke.
So I switched from, this is my guitar channel, so D to F, because if I use my guitar channel, my uke will freak out. So there's like a fine balance of finding the spot where it's going to feed back and when it's not.
Yeah.
Well, let me get this.
Just like B.B. King intended.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we're going to go into your pedal board, which is kind of the tone center of everything. Obviously, we have the instruments we've covered. You're back on your Strandberg with the signature pickups. Got to give the kind people at Lace some more love.
Exactly.
But it sounds like you have a bad cat in the horizon, maybe two.
Yes.
Can you tell us before we dive into the quad cortex here?
I would love to. Okay, so when I was at NAMM this year,
Let me guess, you charmed the pants off of someone else and you're going to get a whole new rig.
Yeah, actually, that's very accurate. Yeah, the rig is going to change after this, which is kind of ironic, but it's all right. We can do another one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I went to the Bad Cat booth to say hey to everyone, because I've worked with them before, and it's been a while, but I've worked with them before, and then I saw the stereo rig they had set up, and I was like, can I play that? And so I did, and it was the Jet Blackhead and the Lynx 2, the second Lynx, going stereo, and it was insane. I've never heard anything like that. And like one of my favorite guitarists, Rabia Massad, he has like a stereo rig, and like listening to that, it's just like I got to listen to that in person at like Sweetwater, and I was just floored. I'm like, I need that. So it's going from like no amp and like a little Behringer monitor to a whole stereo setup. I wanted to like pare down, but it's all good.
If I know anything about the great guys at Bad Cat, the Johns, we'll call them, but specifically John Bingham, they were probably happy to oblige.
Oh, they've been amazing to work with. Truly, I love Bad Cat.
Well, before we move on to the Bad Cat legacy that you'll be forging forward, tell me about the quad cortex and how you're setting it up.
So I have been running just my guitar and mono for these shows.
Okay.
So I just take one out, and actually we run our bass through this too. So we don't even have a bass amp
Clean
on stage.
Business.
We get in, we get out. So but I took this preset from one of Rabia's presets, and then I kind of changed it around to my own stuff. But I've got the freeze effect, which is really cool. Sometimes I'll use that for intros and stuff. Since we don't have a synth player, we're just a trio, so bass, drums, guitar. I have I don't remember honestly what amps I'm running here because it was all from Rabia. So
if you know Rabia stuff, then you'll know what she's running.
Yes. It's super simple though. I tried to keep this the simplest setup. You know, I in the future I want to have lots of effects and like have more delays and octavers and being able to like pitch things down, which I know the quad cortex is awesome for doing some super awesome pitch stuff. But right now it's just a super, super clean setup. It's as if I was to have like an amp behind me on stage,
okay.
like not being able to change things, you know, on the fly. So, and then I have my expression pedal here. This is, I just have a wah. I think I'm emulating a crybaby wah with this. So, yeah.
So you're literally just running this 1D Aaron New patch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's nothing else, like throughout the night, you're not switching anything off.
No, that's it. I mean,
I have,
this is my main overdrive pedal. And then I have a secondary one too. I don't use that one as much anymore.
Can we hear the difference real quick?
Yeah,
just because we're here.
Yeah. So this is the one I have a lot. It's like, it's not a huge difference. This one's a little darker, I think. But
okay.
I like to blend them together sometimes and really get some like crazy stuff
going. Well, let's
do
that quick.
Okay. So it gets a little hairy.
And what's the far left box that's kind of grayed out right now that's not in use? Do you know what that is?
That's the wah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I don't have my glasses on. I should know where that is, though, because I'm not looking when I'm doing this
stuff. Yeah, I bet. You're living life without a net.
Exactly. Sometimes if it's not in the right place, like my pedal board always has to be on the right side, but someone was like, can it be on the left? I'm like, if I have to use my left foot, I'm going to be lost.
Yeah, it's funny how that would be such a throw-off for anyone,
and it
doesn't go even to playing the instrument. It's just what foot we're most comfortable doing those
types
of things on.
Exactly. My brain does not, it won't work on that side.
Well, Aaron, I can't thank you enough. And if you guys are out there and intrigued by this young woman's ability already, check out her Instagram. You're doing really cool videos on there.
Thank
you. Alice in Chains covers and then nifty little ditties you're coming up with
the
fly.
Yeah, original riffs, man. Yep.
And where should they go on to check that out? What is the handle?
It's Coburn Official, Coburn Official.
Awesome.
Yes.
Aaron, thank you again
thank
for doing this.
So
really appreciate it. You guys stay safe out there and keep rocking.
I've been with stereo my whole career, even when I was playing bass in Van Halen, because that's what Dad would play. That's just kind of what was like around in the house, just because of how amazing D'Addario is. The whole band is on it. D'Addario for life. And I say it right. D'Addario.